One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR 4.8 Glad to have you in here with us live tonight. We got a great message for you. Part two of the covenant name of our Creator. You know, the name reveals a lot of things about someone. Now, if a name is purposely given, or righteously given would be a better word, what do you think that Yahweh chose the name Yahweh? What do you think he chose that? Well, if we go to the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 and 15, we'll find out. Yahweh's name is the I Am. It reveals the fullness of his being. All of his nature, his attributes, they're embodied in his name. In other words, the name, there's only one thing that he puts above his name, and that's his word. His word is his bond, that his name is the great I Am. The great I Am reveals to us exactly what the nature and the attributes embodied. In other words, rather than a cryptic mystery, I Am tells us everything that can be known about Yahweh. Now, I know that sounds like a bold statement, but we're gonna prove it to you that the main concept has to do with the exclusive term being some things are, while others are not. Now, if you want a fancy word, this is an ontological issue. If you go to the problem of trying to say left and right, the opposites of equal ontological statues, north and south, front and back, male and female are open and closed or sweet and sour, the many powers of opposites do not always share the same ontological status. Well, if you say, well, give me a poor instance, well, light and dark. You see, light does not exist where darkness is. There is a separation between the two, and light and darkness has no fellowship. Now, do you understand that? There's some things that do not share the same ontological status of meaning and purpose. Now, when he said, I am that I am, that defined him as opposite to the things that are opposite to him. And it were, in other words, Yahweh made everything. People say, well, did he make darkness? Well, that's a good question. Because the Bible says in Genesis, in chapter 1, it says in the beginning that darkness covered the deep. Well, now, how could Yahweh make something that was not in him? In him was light, and darkness was a total opposite of what light is. So he could not have made darkness. Darkness was a process that was caused by someone else. Now, the Bible said that the earth was dark and void. Now, it didn't say in the scriptures that it was dark and void. There's a word that is suspiciously left out of the text. And that is, it became dark and void. A process of time, like sweet became sour, and open became closed, and male became female, or front became back, or north became south, or left to become right. These are issues that developed over time. So the earth was created in light and in splendor, and it was good. But the earth being in a dark state, it says that it became. So now we're dealing with the issues between light and darkness. Now, if a name is hidden from you, you're going to be in darkness. If you know the true name, or you know the person that you're talking about, the great I am, and Christ said in John 5:32, if you do not believe that I am he, I am is a causative verb to be. I am that I am. Causative. It's a cause. There's a cause and effect. The earth and the heavens was in blazing light because Yahweh was light. Did you know that when this artificial system is over with, that we won't need no sun to light up heaven? Now today we need a sun, and we need a moon to interact to where we have the count system of a correct calendar, a lunar, and a solar calendar, the sun. Everything is timed with these two things to actually divide the light from the day and to keep time. There's 12 hours in a day, and there's 12 hours in a night. So we have 24 hours to get our day in, and to keep it holy if it needs to be. Now, how many pairs of opposites that do not share the same ontological status, how many are they? There's plenty. You may be surprised, but if we have the opposite states. They are not ontologically equivalent in the same way that heads and tails are. Why? Because light is and darkness is not. Is and not. It is an energy. It can be measured. It can be qualified. It can be analyzed. It can be seen. It can be felt. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Now, let's go a little further. Heads is real, but so is tails. And equally so. Tails is more than the absence of heads. And so if you erase all the figures of the heads side, there is still something on the tails. But remove all the light from this earth and what's left. Absolutely nothing. And nothing we call darkness. Light is, and darkness is the absence of what is. Yahweh is light, and Yahweh is light, is, but darkness is not. So, if we are dealing with the ontological difference here in the name, I am that I am, is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, we are made in the image of the darkness. Because if you would have never known his name, then darkness prevails and you never realize the potential for light. Now, again, light and darkness. First, there is an absolute limit to darkness. Zero photons present light. However, there is no limitation. There is no theoretical limit to the number of photons that can be present in a given space. Remember that? He fills heaven and earth. Go to the center of a star and you'll find a whole bunch of photons. So pitch dark is the zero point and light grows to infinity. It's a statement of quality. There is quality in a name. Now, not just any name, but a name that's above every name. And in this name is salvation according to Acts 4:11 and 4:12. We have been told that the name Jesus was introduced into the New Testament. And yet, in the New Testament, the man that they called Jesus introduced himself as the Great I Am. The same photon quality of light. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. As was Yahweh, the Great I Am, the cause of the verb to be. In other words, he caused the photons to appear and darkness fled. There is no fellowship. You cannot worship the true name and be in a false name. These are the concepts that are beyond dispute. Now, what about those who profess a name that they live, but in truth, they're dead and still in darkness? Well, notice this. What is life? Life, whatever it is, death is simply the absence of light. Death is defined as darkness. Light or life is defined as light. Yahweh is light, energy and matter, full of photons. Energy is light, is just one form of energy. Matter is, we know in fact that energy and matter are opposite sides on the same coin. We can change matter to energy and vice versa, but the total amount of energy can't be changed. It is, and it is Yahweh. Yahweh is truth. Truth is a statement of what is. Falsehood is a statement of what is not. So anything that's out of the name of the truth, which is Yahweh, people come up with different names and profess them. The Bible says there's a way that seems right. Now, let me show you that the personal name of Yahweh, I am who I am, embodies all matter, all energy, all life, and all truth. Now, that's a big statement, that he embodies all matter, energy, life, and truth. If there's any life in the person is embodied with the photons of energy and light. He may not know what caused the light to come in. In him was life, and life was the life or the light of man. If something is self-existent, it can exist all by itself without any dependencies whatsoever. Everything that we encounter in life is dependent on something else. Life needs air. Air needs molecules. Molecules need molecular cohesion. Molecular cohesion needs, and it goes on and on, and the chain of dependency never ends. What is the ontological anchor of the universe? Yahweh said, the I am that I am, the creator of the universe, depends only on myself for existence. He is the source and origin of all that exists. In him we live and we move and we have our being. Can you see that? That is why Yahweh is sometimes translated the self-existent one. Now, if you're born in this world, you're stillborn, you have no life. You're dead matter. Dark. But if you have life, life is the self-existent one. And I have told you many times that the litmus test is to see if you've got the right name. And you should give your God the name. It should be put under the microscope and brought to light. You should prove all things. And by doing the breathing test I told you about here in part one of the self-existent one, you should be able to hear the name coming from natural breathing. The self-existent one. He lives by himself. In him, we live. You can't live outside him. He gives life to all things by filling the body with the protons of life that are existent from the self-existent one. Now, when you take light out, whether it be good or evil, when you take the life out of the body, it dies. Because life, or the body without life, is dead. Now, can you understand that when you breathe, you're embodying energy, life, and truth. Although you don't know him, you breathe without being subconscious of it. You don't know how you got life. You were given it for a purpose. You were given life to search for life. Knowing that the self-existent one is in you, trying to introduce himself until he's made known unto you. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you will acknowledge me, if you open the door to the truth, if you open it to energy, and life will flood into your soul, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I am, throughout the Bible and most translations, the phrase, I am the Lord, in all caps, in Hebrew, that is, I am Yahweh. I am the I am. I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. And the fact that you're breathing to talk about and to learn of these things. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. He didn't say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Lord is a generic term. Remember, I told you in part one of the name, there's many lords and many gods. And that's true in the Bible when it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, there's many lords and many gods. To which one do you owe your obedience to the life that's in you, or to acknowledge the life that's in you? It has to be acknowledged that He is the name above all names. That your knee must, during a lifetime, it must bend, or it must acknowledge in the name that life is in. Now, you can have it. It's a gift of Yahweh. But you can misuse it. You can abuse it. And you can fail to know it. It's just like, you get power from the power company, but you never want to check in to pay the bill. And when you get there, I mean, you've avoided going into the power office to pay your bill. Hold, I stand at the door and knock. He's introducing you to Himself through His breath. But if you only breathe and take life in and then squander it, if you will, use the power for other purposes. You don't love Yahweh. You don't present yourself daily, a living sacrifice. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't sow the seed of good deeds through that name. All that you do, the Bible commands you to do it all in the name of the great I am, the causative one that causes everything to be, that's got life. Now, there's people that breathe that don't have life simply because they're not plugged in. They have to know Him. Depart from me. They could, well, Lord, haven't we done many works in your name? Well, His name is not Lord. There's many lords. And therefore, He said, look, I don't know you guys. Depart from me. But Lord, we've done many works worthy of salvation or worthy. But see, if you don't confess Him, if you're ashamed of Him, He's going to be ashamed of you. Most people worship in a false name, although it's reverend and although it sounds good. I mean, you get some of these songs that these people have written, and they sang in the name, and they praised that name, and yet the real name is never spoken until they get to the part which was not translated out of the Bible. They left it in for some purpose, who knows? But every once in a while they get it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a name. That's the causative, the verb to be that He told Moses that He was. I am that I am. Again, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I am that I am. The name contains power and authority. The legal and moral claims to your life are embodied in your name. There's not two names. Pepsi-Cola is a registered trademark. they trade in the name of Pepsi Cola. Now, Coca-Cola, which is its opposite, is traded under a registered trademark, perhaps one of the most famous trademarks in the world, Coca-Cola. But Coca-Cola and Pepsi cannot be bottled in the same bottle. There's something ontological different about Pepsi versus Coke. It's not the same thing, although it may taste the same or close to the same. The companies that protect the revealed name through a trademark, you could get in serious trouble if you bottle Pepsi under Coke. Because that is using someone's name unauthorized. What's more, by revealing Yahweh and his name, he has given it to us to use. Failure to use or abusing his name by misusing it. Well, we know he's Lord and we know he's God and we just call him Lord and God. Lord and God. Well, Lord and God ain't his name. His name is everything that brings light. Using something less like Lord and God is a direct insult because that brings darkness. Nobody learns. All the things that you've done and said, if we was to say like, discover your name and investigate your name and see where it comes from, we go and everything that's done in that name reflects upon your good name. The Bible says a good name is to be desired. Your name encapsulates all of your thoughts, your actions, your impressions, your remembrances, your feelings, your reputation, and the name that you have goes hand in hand with everything that we know and we feel in ourselves that's embodied in your name. You keep your bank accounts in your name. You don't make a lot of money and go out there and put it in somebody else's name. Well, that's what you're doing. You're bottling somebody else's glory in your name. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't serve two masters. Coca-Cola and Pepsi just don't go together. Just kick the Coca-Cola out or kick the Coke out. Which one are you going to choose? Well, you may have a taste for Pepsi and a other guy may have a taste for a Coca-Cola. It encapsulates all of your impressions, your taste buds, and the history of how it was made due to your good name. Well, we use better water, let's say. Let's say Pepsi said, yeah, we use better water. Well, would that make it any better if it don't take the Coke or Pepsi, either one, to get you to heaven? No, it would not. It's just something that is the opposite. That everything that you feel about the product can't be bottled in the same bottle and have one name on it. It can't be bottled in one bottle and have two names. You can't serve two masters. And so in this sense, you can summarize that in a name, your name is a perfect image of you in the realm of language. It embodies all of your history, your personality, your fortune. It encompasses all of the thoughts, the feelings, the impressions that others have about you because in your name, it represents you. It presents you to the world in that name. Yahweh's name is the same way. It's his image. It presents him to the world. It's his personal name. His personal name ain't Jesus. You can't bottle Yahweh and Jesus in the same boat. Just don't work. You can't throw two methods, and you certainly can't call them two names. They just don't mix. Light and darkness does not mix. It's the opposite. His image is a reflection in the realm of the language that you speak. And did you know that names are not different in all languages? Did you know names are not translated? They are transliterated sound for sound in all languages. That's why he's the image of reflection in the language. If you don't use his name to call upon him, how can you be saved? You can use substitutes. Or you could even decide to put him in the same temple with someone other or some other god. Again, they're opposites on the spectrum. You've got to represent what his name and decide what is his name. Now, the real name of Yahweh has been known for thousands of years. It is the oldest name on the planet. And he's been found in wrote on rock. The name Jesus has never been found on an old stone or a relic. Although people say his name was Jesus in the New Testament. But the name of Yahweh has been dug up in each generation. There is someone that's called on the real name of Yahweh. The English transliterations of the personal name of Yahweh, it's spelled from right to left. So when the ancient scribes wrote Yahweh's name, they wrote it backwards to what the English would write. But Yahweh wrote his own name, unless you forgot. He wrote it in the Ten Commandments. It has been found in America. It is one of the oldest relic stones with embedded in Paleo Hebrew. That's an ancient name now. And he wrote it on the stone and told the Israelites not to misuse his name. It was a holy name, and he's jealous of his name. So he wrote his own name, and let me tell you how he did it. When Yahweh wrote his name, he didn't spell it left to right or right to left. He spelled it from top to bottom as the yod and a single pattern, the yod, it's the smallest letter in the Hebrew language. Then he wrote the A, and that looks like a door frame. And then he wrote the wa, and that looks like a half a door frame. And then again he wrote the A, which again looks like a door frame. So when you put the head, which is a yod, upon the A, over the wall, and then stack that on the hay again, you have his name written in your forehead. He didn't use a pen. He didn't use paper. He didn't use a rock. What did he use? He used the flesh and bone of the incarnation when he came into the world as the creator, Yahweh in your head, the hay is his arms, the wa is his torso, the hay is his legs, and you yourself have been created in the image of Yahweh. You've been created in the image of his name. You are God's name, and your breath proves it. Just who you are. Now, if you don't acknowledge him, if you don't recognize him, if you don't serve him, how can you be saved without a preacher? How can a preacher preach except he preaches in the name. If Yahweh sends you, he will send you to preach and teach and baptize in his name. That's the commandment. Do not use it in vain. Yahweh actually shows himself that you are Yahweh in the image that he created you, standing with his torso and the name and with the fire or life or the protons coming forth out of you, the neshama, the energy, the air, or the oxygen, when the chest, which is the hay, when it vibrates, it sounds his name. It's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get that through Jesus or Jesus or Jehovah. You have to make a bad face when you say either one. You have to clench your teeth to say Jehovah or Jesus. But in Yah, you express the energy as the oxygen. You know how oxygen makes you flame. You are the bush in flame of Israel. Yahweh in you is the hope of glory. The people in the New Testament use Christ. Christ is a generic term. Come from charisma. And that's not proper. It has no relationship to the image of the name that's in you. And you have in your forehead, as it was in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and chapter 21, verse 4, that the city that you must go through is in his name. That the Father's name, now what is the Father's name? Matthew 28:19 said, go and baptize in the name of the Father. What is the name of the Father? Yahweh, I am that I am. The self-existent one. The protons that bring energy or life or light. The absence of darkness. What is darkness? Those who have bottled themselves into the general acceptance of the world that seems right, put in any name, Lord God, Jehovah, Jesus, Kyros. You see, all of these are a term of what they are. And Yahweh says, I am the cause of everything to be, the self-existent one in you, the hope of glory. Yahweh points exactly into the Creator. And in that, he is one without a second. It is his name above all names, and there's no other name. You cannot bottle Yahweh with Jesus, Jehovah. You cannot bottle Yahweh with Lord, God, or Kyros, or Theos. Yahweh is everywhere that there is light and life. Every person you see is walking and talking in the express image of Yahweh. We are continuously reminded of his presence by the breath we breathe. If we could pause long enough to breathe, take a deep breath in, and then exhale. As you do it several times fast, you will hear yourself over and over, Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. In him you live, in him you move, and in him you have your being. One name, by one name only, are you a candidate before expression. Now, whosoever will acknowledge that name, whosoever will call upon that name shall be saved. That's Yahweh's promise. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door is the creativity of your thoughts. You do everything in your name. Let's say that you run in this world, you're healthy, and you run and become wealthy. What if you gain the whole world and you haven't had the time to reveal his name? Yahweh has revealed his name to us, and the people that wrote the Bible decided to leave it out. Now, this is a shame, because you will have to figure out the great mystery of how they put other deities and gods, Lord, God, Jehovah, Jesus, in the Bible, and took out the only name given under heaven whereby that you can be saved. It's the real name. It's been known for thousands of years, and only a few find it. Isn't that a shame? Whosoever shall call upon the name of who? Power and authority. Yahweh has revealed his name. He's given it to us. And even more, he has given it to those who have life. If your name is on the Lamb's Book of Foundation, from the foundation, you're going to have life. So somewhere, you're going to express his image. You are the express image, Paul said, in Colossians chapter 3. The express image. So Yahweh making you in his image, made you in his name. To wear his name. To call upon his name. All aspects of life are in that name. It's the oldest of revelations, and it's the most powerful. And if you don't think it'll change your life, you just get in it and see what happens. I could be here the rest of the night telling you of the amazing transformation. You won't even know yourself. Yahweh affects you so much that you will reflect him and his express image. The Yod is the head. He's the arms. He is the Wa, the torso. And the second is his legs. As I have explained to you, he's reflected in you the hope of glory. Yahweh is the mind. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the emotion. You got to stir yourself up to take hold of it. Crying. The Vav is life's energy, the spark for the heart. He's the body. He is reflected in life. The Yod is the intellect. You think there. He's the desire. The Vav is the animation. He, in him you move. He's the matter. Heaven and earth is filled with him. That's why that Yahweh is the absence of darkness. Anything that is consistent of life and light, he's there. He's reflected in the world. He's the Yod, which is the human world, the mind. He is the plant. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Yahweh is reflected in the cosmos. The heavens declare the work of his hands. The Yod is the creator consciousness of creation. The first, and he's the impulse of creation. The Vav is the immaterial, or the spiritual universe. He is the material created universe. And so then, if you know him, call upon him in the day of trouble, and he'll deliver you. Now, call in upon his name. Sit down and say out loud, or to yourself, Yod He Vah He, or Yod He Vah He, 100 times, and practice it 100 times in the night time, and every month add 100 times, and it's not meaningless repetition, if you know how to sound his name. It is the most meaningful, the most powerful, the most magnificent, and you will actually pass out with the joy as you call upon the name of Yahweh. It is the most wonderful. And believe me, I've called upon other names many times. But when I call upon the name of Yahweh, when you call upon that name, you picture each part of your body glowing as you say each letter, Yod. You'll see your head glowing. The hay, you see your arms glowing. And the law, you see your torso glowing. And then the application of the power of his name. You get used to saying his name. And if you slow it down, you'll say, you are now expressing the express image of yourself in him with his name in your forehead or your energy center, which is, after all, the place of the embodiment of the Godhead. He is the light, and everything that lives is in him. He's the joy, he's the peace, and he is the way of truth. Yahweh just loves for you to call upon his name. Now, as this scripture just said again, how can you call upon the tetragrammaton? Do you want the word tetragrammaton is? Let me spell it for you first. It's a Greek meaning, and it has a meaning of four letters, or four sacred letters. Josephus said it was four vowels. Here's what he said. It's spelled T as in Tom, E as internal, T as in Tom, R, A, G, R, A, M, M, A, T, O, N. Tetragrammaton. Now, the tetragrammaton is hooked directly to Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9. Write that one down. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9. For then, now the people forgot his name for Baal, Jeremiah 23 verse 25 and 26. They forgot his name. They quit preaching his name. They quit writing it in the Bible for various reasons. Some say it was too holy. Others said that only the priest should speak it. After this, will I turn to the people a pure language that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve me with one consent. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. And if you don't think that the name of Yahweh is so powerful, I told you about the two brothers sitting under an acorn tree and they were meditating and chanting the name of Yahweh. Yah, wah, alternating, Yah, wah, Yah, wah. And the acorns was in the green cap. It was in the springtime where the acorns were locked hard into the cap. And lo and behold, by chanting the name of Yahweh underneath the tree, they loosened the caps of the acorns. The acorns got so happy that they let go of their caps and fell out of the tree and bounced on their head and all around them with joy. I say unto you, in Matthew 23, verse 39, listen, I got to close. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Now there it says Lord. But every time you see Lord and count the letters, they were substituting for the great I Am, Yahweh, written in your forehead, if so be that you're baptized in his name. Now, if you're not baptized in his name, you can't be saved. For it shall be that all that shall call on the name of Yahweh, Joel 2:32, shall be saved. For it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now, there's a lot of people that call upon other names, names that seem right, there is a way that seem right, and they think they're saved. They're going to be surprised at the day of judgment. For salvation shall be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors in whom Yahweh shall call. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Sound that name. Speak that name tonight after you hear Pastor Buddy teach. Breathe it. Just the oxygen from that sounding, that perfect, natural, dialectical sounding. Sound his name. The sound, the Bible said, went forth throughout the earth. Everybody breathing. Think about it. If you had a master stethoscope on your ears to hear humanity breathe, every time they breathe in, they say, oh, what a beautiful sound. And the sound went out into all the earth. Yahweh said that he would return a pure language. The Tetragrammaton is the name above all names. It has been changed and altered simply because those who fail to use it and put it in the Bible are the ones guilty of the message that Yahweh said. Take heed that you do not add one word to this holy word, and take heed that you do not take anything away from it. For he that takes from, his part shall be taken out of the book of life. He that adds to, the plague that's written in the book shall be added to him. So you're damned if you add or take from. It's good by itself. It stands alone. And you shall call on the name of Yahweh, and you shall be saved. Joel 2:32. I gotta go. Yahweh is the name above every name. The song even says, it's a name above all names. Who will declare it? What is his name if you can tell? Proverbs 30 and 4. Now, again, I said you can't bottle Coca-Cola under the registered trademark and mix it with Pepsi under the registered trademark. Two names is one too many. You must choose which name that you're going to have. You can't have Yahweh in a Pepsi bottle and Jesus in a Coke bottle. And every time you get a little excited, you call on the Son's name, Jesus, or you feel like you're slighting Yahweh, and you call on Yahweh's name in a Pepsi bottle. You got to put your trust in the name above all names. You got to decide. If it's Jesus, you stay with him. But if it's Hallelujah, it's the real thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is the registered trademark of the Creator. He stamped you with it, although you didn't know him. He's your Father, though you knew him not. Call on him. Amazing. Listen to me now. It is the amazing name of Yahweh. There's no name change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. He is the great, the mighty, and the powerful one who will judge you in the last day when, if you haven't used his name, if you haven't used the real registered trademark, if you've been sold a substitute, you see, ladies and gentlemen, if you dishonor or take in vain his name, and hold it in vain. In vain means you use the wrong name. In vain means, well, it doesn't matter what you call him. You see, you get those responses when you are told the true name and you're not in it, you're gonna back up and say, well, it don't really matter. He's got many names. That's the big lie. You don't have the one. The people give our Creator many names, and He told people what His name was. Now, if you decide to call upon it, call Pastor Buddy tonight. You can call me at area code 423-351-1082. Now, my cell phone number, if you'd like to take it down, 423-259-0606. And call us, and we'll send you some free information. Write us, and we'll send you a tract on the meaning of the name Hallelujah and all scriptures relating to the real name as opposed to the name they got in the Bible. Now, let me tell you, they translated out Yahweh both in the old and the new. When the angel came down and named him some other generic name, I don't think so. He's Yahweh in the Old Testament, and he's Yahweh in the New Testament. His name was above every name then, it's above every name now, and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Now, I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary tonight, and his number is, let me see what Doc's number here is, 877-289-7439. He's my sponsor tonight, sponsoring the program, wholly for your benefit. He wants me to preach you the name, the truth, that you might repent and change your sinful ways, quit calling upon a false god, and call upon the true name. I give it to you tonight. Take it and use it, and be careful how you use it. Call upon the name with the knowledge, because the Bible says people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, you can write me tonight. Let me give you my address. You can write me tonight at Post Office Box 568. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee. That's one word, Sweetwater, all together, Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 37874. Again, the zip 37874. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 here in Sweetwater, Tennessee, and we'll send you these free tracts. Do you know your Creator by name and the word Hallelujah? People will say it in the denominational churches, and they've been had by the devil who dared to take out and add to. They took the name of Yahweh out, and they added the name of Jehovah, and Jesus, and Lord, and God. Each of these are off the chart wrong. You've got to have the name above every name. Use it, take it, and may Yahweh bless you is my call. I've got to get off here. I'll see you next Sunday night around the world on WWCR. 4.840 on your radio dial on the transmitting Jewel of the South out of Nashville, Tennessee.